Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
We continue live from the Gaylord Resort. Joining me is a fellow Californian from Ventura County. Lisa Anderson is a Gold Star mom, and she's going to run tomorrow. Lisa, welcome to All Marine Radio.
Thank you.
First of all, let's learn about you a little bit. Born and raised where?
California.
What city?
Born in Culver City, but moved to Newberry Park, which is part of Ventura County,
right,
in
right.
1964. So.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Been there for 54 years.
Right, right. How, talk about how you came to run the Marine Corps Marathon.
Okay, so after my son died, I was already a runner, but not a serious runner. I started running, and I picked up a Runner's World. It was an anniversary edition. It had a picture of Oprah on the front, of all people. And she ran the Marine Corps Marathon, and I thought, gosh, if she can run a marathon, I certainly can. Now, granted, I didn't have all the people that she had, but so that was it. And it was fitting because my son was a Marine. So.
And what year was that?
My first, 2007.
2007.
Yeah.
All right, tell us about your son.
Okay, so Nick was 19 when he was killed in Iraq. And
what year?
2004, November 12th, 2004.
All right, and he was a member of?
The 1-4.
1st Battalion, 4th Marines.
Yes, yes.
And you run it with a friend of mine?
Yeah, yeah, Scott Cuomo, Major Cuomo. He was Nick's platoon leader. And he's ran it every year with me when he's in country.
Right.
So I think he's missed two. And so this will be our 12th year.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. It's exciting.
26 miles is a long way.
Yeah, it is.
And I've run in my life, but I look at that, I'm like, I can't do that.
Well, it's all about the training.
Is it?
And unfortunately, I haven't really had too much training this year. I think I say that every year. But it is. This marathon is different from any marathon I've ever ran.
Why?
And,
why?
Well, the Marine...
I've never... It is. We're different. I'm kind of luring you into this, but... I ask people, is this different in here, or is it just me because I've never been here?
No, this is the Marine Corps Marathon. If you've talked to a number of people that have ran many marathons, different marathons, they'll tell you the Marine Corps Marathon is the best. And this is my first marathon, and they're like, oh, it's all downhill from there, you know. But it's the Marines, of course.
Right.
It's the vibe. It's of all the runners, so I don't know how many this year. It's usually between 30 and 40,000 runners. So it's one of the largest in the world. Of all those runners, probably 90% or more run for charity. And of those 90%, probably more than 90% of those run for military charity. And that's pretty special. And that's pretty epic, really, you know. And people get it, understand it here, you know, vets and supporting vets, supporting Gold Star families, supporting Blue Star families, you know. And it's people understand.
Now, yesterday, like, you were drug over here.
I was, by Amy.
So I met Amy.
Yeah.
Amy, who everybody heard yesterday, is the founder and the executive director of Medals of Honor.
Yes.
How did you meet Amy?
I met her through the, I believe it's probably the Marine Corps Marathon, maybe Facebook page. And we just had this great connection. And she goes, and she was just starting her Medals of Honor then. And so she invited me to run Ruck. Struggle through Bataan, the death march, memorial death march that they do in Mexico at White Sands.
Does she like you? Are you friends?
Yeah, right. It was a struggle. It's hard. It's through sand, and we wore combat boots, you know, it was hot, and but you do it because that's what we do. That's what we do.
So let me ask you, as a Gold Star mom,
mm-hmm.
is that how you stay connected? Is that how you remember? Is that how you honor? Is it all of that?
All of that. All of that. So you find out real quick that people are for you and with you after the death of a loved one.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, they're gone. They're really not there. They expect you to move on. And
who expects that?
Everybody. I mean, really do. I mean, it's surprising. I was just...
Okay, I want to ask you a question.
Okay.
So when... At funerals,
mm-hmm.
when people walk up to people
mm-hmm.
and say, there's a purpose in this.
Yeah.
Time heals all wounds.
Yeah.
God needed it more than you do.
Yeah.
Do you have any advice for people that say things like that?
Because
I know they're well-intentioned.
Yeah, they are. They are.
Right.
I think because people just don't know what to say.
Right.
Oftentimes, because they don't know what to say, they just stay away.
Don't do that.
No. Okay. Talk about it.
But don't say something stupid.
Yeah.
Just if you don't know what to say, walk up and give
just,
them a hug.
Yeah. It doesn't take much. Or I'll always remember. I'll always honor them or whatever the case may be. And that means more than anything. And it's really funny that you said that God needed him more than we did. That's one thing my youngest son said to me that day we found out. And I was just by myself, a wreck. And that's what he said. He said, well, Mom, God needed him more than we did. And that part I believe.
Right.
I you know, he was... But for other people, yeah, probably not such a good thing.
No, but it's such a terrible circumstance,
mm-hmm.
and you know, sometimes that causes anger, you know, because
yeah.
because when everybody does go away,
yeah.
and then you're just left with it.
Exactly.
The reality of it.
Yeah.
Is you go visit your son
mm-hmm.
in a national cemetery.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's hard to explain, but a death is a death, obviously. But when it's involved with war, it's a whole other ball game. And military,
why?
it's so much emotion and passion attached to it.
Explain that.
Well, it's very political, and you know, especially where our country is now. I mean,
right.
we're very divided, and so, and oftentimes people just think of military as people that are bad. I won't say bad, but oh, they're just joining the military because they want to kill or they want to shoot. You know what I mean? And it's more than that. And
do you run into that?
Yeah, you'd be surprised. You would be surprised. And
well, I don't live very far from you.
Yeah.
So if you tell me who they are,
yeah.
you can give a license plate number. We can.
Yeah,
I
really.
Have friends.
Yeah,
we have a network.
There's a network. Yeah, Marine Corps isn't.
It's not a very big place.
It's not. It's a small world. But you'd be surprised things that people say, and I don't think they.
How about how do you deal with the randomness? Because if you do the math,
yeah,
pretty good odds. If you went, you're going to come home alive.
Yeah, yeah. But
in your case.
Yeah, it didn't. But, you know, I don't, I'm not mad. I'm not, you know.
Were you ever mad? Does
no.
it take a while to get to that? Or
no,
what?
No. Because he did what he wanted. He knew what he signed up for, you know. And I could say that. Other people say that's not so good. But I can say that. But
I heard General Kelly say that. General Kelly
did,
talking about
yeah.
his son.
Yeah.
And people asked him, what are your feelings relative to your son, Robert, who
yeah.
was killed in action on November 9th
uh-huh.
in 2010 in Afghanistan? And he said, you know, it doesn't really matter. He said, what matters is that's where he wanted to be.
Exactly.
He was a combat veteran.
Exactly.
And he knew the risks. That's where he thought he should be. That's where he wanted to be. And as his father, I completely support him.
Yep, and that's what you do. You do. And I'm not angry. I feel bad for his brothers that were with him,
right.
and in his unit, because there's so much guilt involved. There's so much sadness involved, and you know they came back, and he's the only one that didn't. I reach out to them as much as I can, and they reach out to me, which is awesome.
Right.
It's awesome, and I think. Honoring Nick and keeping his name out there and not letting people forget is probably the best way to heal, for me anyway. You know, and that's my goal, is to just make sure people don't forget, because they do.
We don't, though.
Yeah, no.
We don't, and that's so that, and so Medals of Honor, obviously, mm-hmm. near and dear, mm-hmm. As they run, and they wear the name, the
yep.
rank,
mm-hmm.
The branch of service, and the date of death.
Yeah.
And then the medal gets mailed to the family.
They do.
So when
that's
you saw that, I'm sure that had to be, like, straight to your heart.
That's awesome, and I totally support that. Amy's amazing, and I know that she started doing all this after her son
enlisted
and went to boot camp, and she felt she had to do something, and that you'll find that in a lot of parents. You don't know what to do, and that's, Medals of Honor is awesome, and it's, like I said, there's so many great charities that do that, which is, the more we have, the better, I think, just to get it out there, because, you know, people don't even realize we still have men and women overseas in the Middle East, you know, fighting the fight. So it doesn't come on our soil. And that's important. I mean,
give people some advice. Some people are, I'm not one of them, but some people are reticent to walk up to a Gold Star mom.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
what do I say? How do I say mm-hmm. it? What do you, when somebody asks you, how do I walk up and say?
Well, it's weird, because sometimes when Nick first died, I felt like oftentimes I had to console the person that came up to me, because they would just maybe lose it.
Apart,
yeah.
Fall apart, right?
And I think oftentimes that happens, especially with parents, because it hits too close to home. They can't imagine what it's like to lose a child. They don't want, and I said, don't even think about that. You can't.
Now, interviewing Amy yesterday?
Yeah,
she told a story about signing his early enlistment paper
mm-hmm.
when he was 17.
Yeah,
and she said, I felt like I was signing his death certificate.
Yeah,
she
yeah.
said, I went down to the recruiter's office, and I was trying so hard not to cry, because I didn't want everybody to think that,
yeah.
you know, here's Nick's mom, he's a pussy, his mom's crying.
Yeah,
I didn't
yeah.
want, like, she did not, but she said, I was terrified in my
yeah.
head.
Yeah.
I was terrified in my head, and so, you know, and I've heard that.
Yeah.
I tell the story. My sister, her two sons were murdered by
mm-hmm.
their father
oh,
when
wow.
she said she was going to leave, and then they killed themselves all in front of her. And
wow.
one of the reasons she moved was people would come to her house to hang out.
Yeah.
They would drink a little bit. And then they would unburden themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I can't take it anymore. She
yeah.
said, I'm trying to take care of me, but I'm
yeah.
having to take care of all these other people who show up.
Yeah. Well,
how do you do that?
You do. It's that's not uncommon. You do. And somebody has to, who, you know.
Yeah, but it's not supposed to be you.
It's not supposed to be.
You're the Gold Star mom.
I know.
You're not supposed to be, like, everybody's
yeah.
they're supposed to be comforting you.
Yeah, but it doesn't work that way, unfortunately.
Wow.
So, I mean, like I said, I think especially parents or people, they're afraid, oh, God, I can't think of the unimaginable. And,
right.
you know, so it's kind of awkward, actually. You know, I don't know what to say. I just kind of, you know, or when I tell people my story or Nick's story, you know, they get all emotional, and that's good, because I know that that's coming from the heart, but I don't want to sit there and console somebody, you know, and walk away thinking, oh gosh, not again, you know, but,
right.
you know, so much time has passed now that I'm a little bit, I don't want to say jaded to it, but it's not as hard as it was before dealing with that. It's still hard dealing with when he's not here. And this is the time of the year, for me personally, it gets really hard, because his anniversary is coming up in November.
Right.
You know, it always starts with the Marine Corps Marathon. And luckily I have Major Cuomo with me. And
you can call him Scott.
I call him Scott, yeah.
He's a kid Marine.
He is.
Little junior Marine.
Yeah.
Is he a good runner?
You know what? He is. He's a true...
Tell the truth.
He's a true Marine. He will belt it out. He won't run at all. And then all of a sudden he'll show up race day, ready to go. never has glasses, never has a hat. He's like your Marine's Marine. He really is. And so
macho man,
strong as you know what. So, yeah, he's. But he's got the tender. He's got a tender, loving, giving heart.
We're like that. We don't show it to very many people.
I know, right?
I
know, exactly.
We do not let people behind that curtain very much.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he'd appreciate that if you said that.
Yeah, I think so.
Como, we know you're a little, we know you've got a little soft heart.
He does. He does.
Tell us about your son.
So, Nick.
Tell us about Nick.
He was this goofy kid that everybody loved. He had this goofy grin, and all the little kids in the neighborhood loved him. Everybody, I mean, he's just a great kid. And
how does the Marine Corps get in front of him?
You know, he knew from very young that he wanted to be in the service. He was in the Sea Cadets.
Right.
And then he went straight in high school, right, into boot camp. I mean, graduated in June, went to boot camp in September. So he loved boot camp. Go figure that. Go figure.
Wait a minute. How does he choose the Marine Corps? How does he choose door number four? Because door number four, right, there's the smart guy service.
Mm-hmm.
There's go see the world.
Mm-hmm.
These two do about the same.
Mm-hmm.
This one's pretty reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
This one is not.
Mm-hmm.
This has angry people that like to yell and scream. I want number four.
You want number four. You know why? They spoke real to him. They said, you know what? This is what you can do. And he's like, okay, I'm there. Everyone else just kind of, you know, sugarcoated it all. Mm-hmm. And he's like, they talked straight to me. They told me exactly what was up, and we're like, okay.
Did they tell him to go away? Because that's a famous way to hook him.
No.
Get out of here. You're not.
Mm-mm.
You're not.
They loved him. Get this. This is how much they loved him at boot camp, and he was at boot camp at
MCRD.
MCRD, yeah. I keep on saying Camp Pendleton. That's where he was stationed, though. Right. But at MCRD, he got pneumonia, and towards the end, so bad they put him in a hospital in San Diego. Not there at MCRD.
Oh,
put him in hospital.
Not the pretend hospital.
The real hospital. Yeah, the real hospital. And he called home. He wasn't supposed to, but he called home. He was all upset. He was crying, actually.
Because he wasn't going to graduate.
He didn't think. They thought they were going to recycle him. And then he's like, and if they recycle me, he wouldn't be able to come home and see his fiance. Because she was about ready to be shipped out to Japan. She was in the Air Force. So he was really, had all these things going on. I'm like, don't worry about it. And I said, I can come down there. He's like, no, they find out I'm even talking to you. They're gonna, you know. So he was in the hospital for 5 days. That's usually, I mean, one day, it's usually they recycle, boom. No, they kept him because they liked him. And at graduation, he didn't even do a lot of the running stuff because they said, you do whatever you want, whatever you feel comfortable with, but you're here. And so he still went to the Crucible, and he still did all that, but they kept him.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I tell people that story, and they're like, no way. And I said, yeah, they did. He was this goofy kid, and he was a chaplain's assistant, and he called it the witch doctor.
They are.
He goes, everyone goes to church just because they can get out of and away
exactly.
from everyone yelling
That's
at them.
That's a place to hide.
That's a place to hide.
I've been from the church in seven years. I'm all in, though.
Yeah.
What? So he goes to school of infantry. He becomes an 0311, a rifleman, a machine
rifleman,
gunner.
A machine gunner. He was. This is back. They don't have the same.
0331?
Oh, my God. Cool. I think so. Really, you're asking me these questions?
Here's mom.
I have the worst memory. You can ask God. He'll tell you exactly all. I think I have it on my phone somewhere.
You would
so
know.
I remember. He does.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
But Como, he hasn't shown up.
He was here this morning already. He had to go back to work. So,
right.
You know,
right.
He's a working
Nobody's believing that.
I know.
Marathon running.
Uh-huh.
How fast does it matter how fast?
No. So this will probably be close to my 50.
Okay, hold on. How old are you?
55.
Okay. So women who run a little bit and are listening to you,
mm-hmm.
How much of a runner were you before you decided that you said, I'm going to do that?
Yeah.
How much?
Not that much. I was a treadmill runner. I'd run 6 miles every day or whatever. Nothing like this. But once I started, this was my first marathon, was Marine Corps, then I couldn't stop. So I'm close to 50 marathons now, a few ultras, and now I've gone over to the dark side to do Ironman. So,
So you're like an American badass?
I don't think about that.
What's next, MMA?
Wouldn't that be fun?
No.
That would be so fun.
That's Woody Williams. He's an awesome guy. That's his grandson.
Nice.
And Woody is the last surviving Medal of Honor recipient
really?
From World War II.
Oh, yeah.
For actions in the Battle of Iwo Jima. He is an awesome guy.
That's
and
awesome.
He's kind of the Grand Marshal, one of the Grand Marshals.
Oh, I love it.
I think he's going to start the hand crank race tomorrow.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yep. And I got to interview him yesterday.
Yeah.
And I almost wet my pants. He's a Marine Corps legend.
That's awesome.
He has a foundation.
Okay.
That is putting up, it supports communities that are putting up monuments in communities for Gold Star families.
Yeah.
That's his foundation.
That's awesome. You know, it's what's so neat about Marine Corps Marathon, you find out about all these different, you
things.
Know. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I run for a number of different charities. Besides Medals of Honor, I run for Wear Blue. So Nick's on the Blue Mile this year. I mean, he's on there every year.
Tell everybody what the Blue Mile is.
Okay, so the Blue Mile, it's a mile long. It's over at Haynes Point next to the Potomac, and it's a quiet area, which is perfect for it. And there's posters of the fallen and a little bit of their stats when their birth date is, when they're, or actually maybe their date of death, and some other things, and great pictures you send in. And so that's for a mile long. And then and it's on both sides of the street, so doesn't matter where you're running, you'll see them all. And then after that, there's a Wear Blue Run to Remember volunteer that's holding the American flag, and each one of those flags represent one of those posters. Yeah. So I'm lucky enough to have the same gal.
Not your average marathon.
No, it's really quiet.
Not only no, but hell no.
Hell no, yeah.
I clean that up for everybody.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's pretty. I stop. I walk through there. I touch every one of those posters, you know, because I know that they're. You can't. Yeah. When people run through it, I don't know. Maybe they're so out of it they don't know that they're there. But most people walk through it. It's very emotional. Scott, we always know it's coming. I start, you know, I know it's coming, and I just kind of lose it. And luckily, I have Scott there with me. And we spend a little time. We'll take pictures. And I have a gal that holds the flag who's this is her fourth time holding Nick's flag. So I ran with her this morning. And so she's...
it's raining.
It was raining, and it was cold, and, you know...
Is that why you have that Pelican hat on?
My beanie on. No, I was not
just,
prepared.
Is that a style... Is that a style thing today?
I guess. I wear
it. Is
it? Well,
it's a good-looking helmet. It's a good-looking hat.
It's a great beanie. It's we're from California, so what is this stuff falling from the sky? I don't...
You know what? This is kind of like, though, the way it rains in California, though.
Yeah.
Kind of that misty, like...
Yeah.
The East Coast rain, if that shows up...
Oh,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, nobody needs that.
It was cold.
But
it was cold out there.
How far do you run the day before the race?
Oh, I didn't run very far because I haven't trained that much. So we probably ran... Well, I got off the metro, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, it's so far away. So I had to run to where we were meeting at Jefferson Memorial. And then Wear Blue does a circle of remembrance before every run that they do. They'll also do it tomorrow morning. So we did that, and you call off the names of whoever you're running in memory of. And so we did that, and then we ran probably, I don't know, a couple miles maybe. I don't know. It was cold. It was so cold.
Cold and wet.
And I have nothing that's waterproof.
I don't want to tell you how to live your life.
I know.
You might want to invest in some.
I know. I need to.
Well, but it's not supposed to be raining tomorrow.
It's not supposed to be raining tomorrow. So I'll have my throwaway gloves and a few things. So I should invest. I'm climbing Mount Kilimanjaro in March in honor of Nick. Yeah, that's kind of big deal. And I'm doing
MMA is at some point.
Well, now that Ronda Rousey's in MMA.
Kilimanjaro.
Yeah, Kilimanjaro. Wow. And I'm doing that with another organization that I charity run with TAPS. And so
Taps, Semper Fi Funds.
Oh, Fisher House. They're all. There's so many of them that are great.
And you know, and there's all these women that run them. For the most part.
Yeah.
There's sometimes guys in there.
Yeah.
But most of the time, it's women.
Yeah.
And they're not having it.
Yeah. They're not having it.
Go in there and talk bullshit to them. And if you want to get shown the door quickly.
Yeah.
Amy was yesterday talking about our motto for this year is let's break shit.
Yep.
What does that mean? Are you sure you're a 501c3?
Yeah.
She's like, yes, like all these, you know, everybody does this the same way. And then you run up against these walls and we're not having it.
Yeah. Get it done.
I'm like, all right, girlfriend.
Get it done.
Get
yeah.
after it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and she's got a passion and she's got a motive and she's, and it's all good. And she's not going to let anybody stop getting her way. And that's how it should be, you know.
My guest is Gold Star Mother, future MMA fighter.
I don't know.
Marine Corps Marathon runner times how many?
This will be my 12th Marine Corps
12th
Marathon.
Marathon.
Yeah.
And her name is Lisa Anderson. All right, Lisa, I've taken up a bunch of your time. I know you got stuff to do today. All the best of luck to you. It's a pleasure meeting you. I hope
Thank you.
Since I have your cell number, if I call you and ask you to come on All Marine Radio when we're talking about shit. And,
always. You don't even have to talk about shit. You can talk about anything.
All right. No, it's devoted to post-combat related mental health. And so the stuff that Nick's friends are dealing with is the stuff that we all deal with. And those days when you hear, you know, about it, when it happens, you know, you never get over that.
You don't.
And that's why as a tribe, we need to hang together and we need to support each other and we need to preach the gospel of what I call post-traumatic winning is.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's okay. You're going to have a PTSD menstrual cycle.
Uh-huh.
I have one now.
Uh-huh.
Some days, I'm sure you go through it. Some days you can talk about it, Nick, right?
Yeah.
Other
yeah.
days, the thought of it.
Too much.
Ain't happening.
It ain't.
It's
yeah.
like. You could go to a psychiatrist and spend a lot of money to find out why that works.
Yeah.
Or you can just accept that it's going to be part of the rest of your life and be okay with it.
Yeah.
And it's okay to be damaged.
Yeah.
Right? Not everybody gets through the car wash unscathed.
Yeah.
And we're part of that, the land of misfit toys that still can do great things, still can live the life that you want to live.
Yeah.
It's going to be a little bit different, though. But being mutually supporting is important, and you're a very cool voice for it.
It's a matter of putting it out there and having, like, I met a...
Let me tell you one more thing.
Okay.
One more thing. One of the things that we're learning
mm-hmm.
is our tribe talks about this, right?
Yeah.
You're part of our tribe,
yeah.
right? We talk about it. In the civilian world?
Not so much.
And we can be, as veterans, as Marines, and as veterans, and as tribal members,
yeah.
we can be exporters of this, and we can help ease the pain of other people,
yeah.
which I call Grinch moments, when he hears the Who people sing and his heart grows.
yeah.
Right? When you touch somebody's yeah. life and you help ease their pain, there's nothing like that. And we who've lived this life,
yeah.
who support each other... there's nothing we can do about the past, but we can help people. And in doing that, we remember Nick.
Yeah.
We remember our friends, and we make the world a better place by easing people's pain. So I think that it's a little bit is perspective and experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I think also having a little bit of a mentor to put their hand on your shoulder to guide you and say, I know you can't see it, but there's a door in the back end of this trauma room.
Yeah.
Right? And when the smoke blows away, at some point, you'll be able to see it. And that is a road, that door leads to a road to greater things in life.
It does.
And it's hard, but it's there.
It is there.
And so.
It's good. It's good. I'm collaborating with a vet with Gold Star Gold Star Families. I'm doing just that through Iron Man Foundation. And it's getting it more out there, because it's never enough.
No,
And
we don't really connect it like that very well.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to travel the country now and speak about this thing that I call post-traumatic winning.
Yeah.
We're the most courageous, selfless, toughest, disciplined warriors on the planet. We don't become dysfunctional, disabled people because of that.
Yeah.
We're marginally different.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a great contribution to make to our communities because we've lived a life that a lot of people haven't, and we can help. And there's so many people that have been affected by sexual assault, violence, mm-hmm. death, that we can look and put our hand on their shoulders and say, hey, it's okay. You can do it. You're not going to get over that.
Yeah.
And I always laugh and they look at you and they say, are you a therapist? No, I'm a Marine. They're like, what? No, we live trauma. It's what
yeah.
we do.
Yeah.
And I think that's a tremendous gift that we can share with other people.
Yeah. Well, and I think also you hit the point of you know, PTSD and vets and trauma and all that, because that's a whole other ball game. And and people don't understand it. They really don't. They think they do, but they really don't. And it's so real, and it's so prevalent, and people just want to throw the key away, you know. And something as simple as a vet not being able to be around during the 4th of July during fireworks because it has such an impact on them that they can't deal with that. It brings back, you know,
yeah.
whatever.
Yeah.
And people don't understand something that, as simple as that. It's not simple to the vet that's having to deal with it, but
right.
to someone else, it's like, oh, what, you know, or it's...
Can't you just get... To go back to the start of the interview.
Yes.
Can't you just get over that?
Exactly.
Can't you get around the curve on that?
Yeah.
You know, you've really got to... You've got to let it go.
Yeah.
Well, listen, asshole. I let it go a long time ago. It's not letting me go.
Yeah.
And can you imagine how lucky I was? 1993, a helicopter crashes... Inside of my company.
Uh-huh.
And pilots decapitated, co-pilot crushed to death.
Uh-huh.
We're trying to save the crew chief and another guy, and it's not working very well, and they die. And my company gunny walks up to me and says, later that day, he asked me how I was.
Yeah.
I said, well, I've been busy. I don't really know. And he said, you know you're never going to get over this.
Yeah.
I said, what?
Yeah.
I said, get away from me with that shit.
Yeah.
Who told you that? And he said, Vietnam guys. And then he had my attention.
Yeah.
And so this thing that I do is kind of the oral history that's handed down to us
mm-hmm.
that doesn't involve four drugs that turn you into a zombie.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't involve going to group therapy and listen to other people's problems. It involves staying connected and understanding that it's okay to have that thing etched in your mind forever.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
nothing wrong with you.
Exactly.
We're warriors, right? When you go to fight, it's going to happen.
It's going
to
happen,
I mean,
yeah.
and arguably, you didn't sign up for it.
Yeah.
But you deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
We sign up for it. So I would say we have a little bit greater responsibility to own our shit.
Mm-hmm.
Because unlike a lot of trauma victims, we went that way.
Yeah.
And so I think, and again, if you can own it, if you can get your hands around it, understand it, then you can begin to touch other people's lives, and you can be the Grinch.
Well, that's what I'm hoping.
Be the Grinch.
That's,
but we need evangelists, though. So
yeah.
good on you.
And that's the whole thing is, and it's very simple, really. It's not that big of a deal. It's simple, but it's accepting. It's other people accepting, and that's.
It's you accepting it first.
Yeah.
Right? And it always helps when somebody else who's in the tribe says it to you. Because
yeah.
he's my gunny. He's a great dude. He's like 6'6".
Yeah.
Big galoot.
Mm-hmm.
The most profound thing that ever has been told to me is I heard from a high school graduate.
Yeah.
Right? It changed my life. And I've told that to so many Marines that I met that
yeah.
are struggling. I told that to my sister the day that you know, her sons were murdered, that you know, Peggy, you're not going to get over this. People are going to tell you all kinds of bullshit.
Yeah.
But there's going to be nothing wrong because it's going to stay with you, and that's okay.
Yeah.
And so, for me, it was a huge relief to know that there wasn't anything wrong with me.
See, nobody ever told me that.
I know.
No,
how
I
bullshit
mean,
is
they
that?
They just say, you know, it's time to move on. You need to stop this or whatever the case may be or what's, you know. And I'm like, you know, it's not like I lost my job. You know, and you get over it, and you go get a new job, or
I got
you know,
I got divorced.
Yeah, you know,
which is even tough in itself.
It's tough, yeah. But it's like I lost my son, and you don't replace your son. And then you have, if you have other children, then you know their expectations of they have to live up to, you know, and they put that on themselves. My youngest son put that on himself, which is damaging enough. But
Did he join the Marine Corps?
He almost went to the Naval Academy. And Scott's still pushing him to go to the Naval Academy. No, he ended up graduating at Villanova University, but he joined the Sea Cadets like his brother.
Right.
You know, he was following in those, and it's his choice. We never pushed him. It was just, I think he felt he needed to do that. They were very close, even though they're 10 years difference. They were very, very close. And so I think he just felt that was his way to deal with shit. And lucky for him, he didn't have a lot of that, oh, you'll get over it, that kind of thing. He was young enough, he didn't have to deal with that. And then as he got older and he talks about it, he has good people in his tribe to, oh, that's okay, you know, and they're good people that support him and do what needs to be done. You know, his when they all graduated, they all came and stayed here in California. They all wanted to go to California. So I had 10 kids hanging out.
Those East Coast kids.
I know. They'd never been in there. Like, and they had this whole week planned out. And it wasn't like Disneyland or this or that. They wanted to go wine tasting. They wanted to go to Joshua Tree. They wanted to go surfing. They wanted to do some Dodger game. We went to a Dodger game, by the way. Yay, Dodgers last night. 18 flipping innings.
You didn't stay up for that.
I did stay up for that.
You did. I fell asleep at 1:15.
I did, and I had a little too much wine, and I had to get up and run this morning. So, tells you how
exactly,
I'm feeling right now.
Exactly.
But, yay.
You will be dragging ass tomorrow.
I will. But I'm a hardcore. I was wearing my Dodger hat this morning. But these
18 innings, the longest World Series game.
That's crazy.
In baseball history.
And my Blue, they did it. Yeah.
And I was looking at the box score this morning because when I fell asleep, it was 1-1.
Yeah.
And then I see that that what's his face hits a home run.
Jock.
The left hand hitting.
Peterson did. He
no,
hit. Oh,
he
and
hit,
that was at the very beginning.
Who hit
yeah.
the game winner? The
yeah.
walk off.
Oh, Muncy.
Muncy has a walk off home run. And but it scores 3-2.
Yeah.
I said, wait a minute, how did it get to be 2-2? And so I went back and I looked and I saw,
just calling back and forth.
So they went to a Dodger game.
So they wanted to go to Dodger game. They wanted to go, you know, the walk of, you know, Chinese theater and all that. And since it was Memorial Day, we always go to, Nick is at Ivy Lawn Memorial in Ventura, cemetery, and so we always go to the service there. So before they left to go to Joshua Tree, they came to the service. You know, they really wanted to do that. And I said, you don't have to. They're like, no, we want to be there for Jackson and you
and
all that. So they're, I mean, good kids,
right.
You know. So I'm glad he's got that. And whereas it's a little different as an adult. I think people just expect you to be to adult and move on. And
yeah, you know, I think that they don't know what to say, and
yeah.
it's, you know, and I
yeah.
think they're really, they're, I think that's the significance of our tribe,
yeah.
and that we're not afraid of it. My daughters cringe when they see, we'll be someplace, and I'll see an amputee,
mm-hmm.
and they're like, Dad, please don't do it, and I'm like, hey, where'd you get those?
Yeah.
At the VA hospital at Riverside. No. Where'd you lose those?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, in Afghanistan. What year? 2010. Where were you? I was in Helmand. You're a Marine. Yes. Who were you with?
Yeah, exactly.
It happened to me once, and I medevaced the guy.
Oh, wow.
He looked at me, and he said, no way. I said, absolutely.
Okay, so
it was awesome. It was awesome. But my daughters look at me, then we'll leave, and
yeah.
they look at me like, "How do you do that? You just walk up to him, Dad. Stop doing." I'm like, "No, you don't understand. We don't give a shit.
Yeah,
this is our tribe.
And you know,
I don't care if he's had part of his brain blasted out. He's us forever.
Mm-hmm. That's family.
Now they understand it."
Yeah,
and because they're tribal members.
Yeah,
right. And I said, look, don't be afraid of it. This is us. Your brothers are Marines, and this is you guys were part of it. I took my youngest down to the Wounded Warrior Trial.
Uh-huh.
At Camp Pendleton, and because I wanted her to see.
Yeah,
and there's some interesting stuff there,
yeah.
right? You see amputees, high double amputees,
mm-hmm.
right, that have to strap themselves in a wheelchair. But you see them together, and they're having the best time.
Yeah.
And my daughter is asking me, why does that guy wearing a glove? Well, probably has a prosthetic hand.
Yeah.
And he's not comfortable, whether they fully finished it or what.
Mm-hmm.
You see the way he walks, Colleen? And she's like, yeah. I said, he's got a prosthetic leg under his jeans. You can see it.
Yeah.
And she's like, she goes, Dad, they're so happy. And when they're the lucky ones.
Yeah. They made it home.
Right? And she looks at me, and I said, the guys that weren't lucky aren't here.
Yeah.
And they know that.
Yeah.
We know that. Our tribe knows that.
Yeah.
So if you're alive, you were lucky. And, you know, you thank God every day for it, because one of the things we learn the longer you do it is it's more luck than it is skill.
Yeah.
Because you don't hear it coming, mm-hmm. right? And you can't see other stuff. And so, you know, there's somebody who decides... or fate decides, or randomness decides, or whatever you believe in.
Yeah.
And on the way home, though, really interesting conversation, right? With a 13-year-old girl
mm-hmm.
about these kind of things. But I think it is the significance, and I think people are just so, what do I say?
Yeah.
How do I broach it? And I think it's, I mean, unless you're around other, I think, when in your case, Marine families.
Yeah.
Or Gold Star families that are comfortable with it.
Yeah.
I think everybody else is like, I don't know what to say.
Yeah, and they don't. And that's, like I said, if you just, one of the things I love to hear is thinking of you, Nick. They'll say, I'm thinking of you during this time, and that's nice. I like that. That's
right.
Nice. But when they always say, you know, we thank you for Nick's sacrifice. Because lots of times people say, for your sacrifice, too, and I'm like, I didn't do anything. You know what I mean? I couldn't be there. I think the hardest part of any parent or mother, anyway, for me, is that I couldn't be there to protect him.
Right.
You know, your whole life you're protecting your children,
right.
Right? You have control over a lot of circumstances. But in war, you don't. And I think that's probably the hardest part to get over, is that I wasn't there. And there was nothing I could ever do about it. And also, when he left to go... he was on the 11th Mew.
Right.
They left, that was the last thing I ever thought of. I wasn't thinking about death.
Oh.
Not at all. I mean, I thought when...
So they were going on the Mew, and you didn't connect it to Iraq?
I knew they were going to... Yeah, but I never in a million years would think that he would get killed. That wasn't even in my thought process. I thought he could get injured, and he could be in the... He could be in the hospital and something could happen, but death was never a thought process, and not once. And but I have to tell you, the night that he was killed, I was home alone, and I had this feeling over me, and I you can't explain it. And I talked to other moms, and they have that, you know, that what they say, that mother's sense.
Really?
And I was...
Do you have many mothers that say that?
They felt
something?
A number
something?
That they knew something was up. I couldn't sleep. I was up all night. I started packing, like, I was I'm going to have a yard sale, so I started packing up stuff. I was very antsy, walking around, and I couldn't sleep all night. And just didn't know what it was. It wasn't until later that I realized, you know, because Iraq is ahead of us, right? So... It was probably during that time, because I didn't have the Marines come until later that day to my house. But
and where was Nick killed?
He was right out in Al Anbar.
Right. That's the province.
Yeah.
Whereabouts?
Yeah. And
I was there then.
Oh, were you there? Okay. No. And
do you know what city?
I don't. They were coming back. They were in a convoy coming back from. Don't know exactly what they were doing, but he was the gunner in the back watching their back, and terrorists came after them. After, you know, there's protocol what they can and cannot do when a car is approaching them and
right.
and whatnot. So
was it a vehicle that crashed into him or
they ran him off the road because they, you know, like I said, back then the protocol. I think things were quite a bit different.
Yeah, we you know what that. That was hard because we were learning as
yeah.
we went in 2004.
Yeah.
Especially when they were there
mm-hmm.
in the spring.
Yeah.
and the whole province had exploded, and we would get on the road during the day, and we really didn't know what to expect, and then we would have these suicide bombers, and then we were asking Marines, well, shoot a pen flare and do this and do that, and then some guy driving crazy, you shoot and you kill him. There's his wife and kids in the car.
Yeah.
And we had all these, and we later learned, to do it better.
Yeah. Well, and again, it's not like any other war we've been in,
right.
Things, it's so different.
Right.
And, but, they had just, Najaf was the week before,
those two weeks before.
And that was just,
that one war was all.
Yeah. All over it.
And
it was huge, and I didn't realize how bad Najaf was until after he died.
It did not get... Actually, the media had left Fallujah and gone down to Najaf, and then we started laying the wood to Fallujah, and nobody knew about it because all the media was down in Najaf covering the fight
in the cemetery.
and then the way that thing was resolved,
it was pretty crazy. There's a book that's out on it, and the one for everything that went on. And he would call, and when he called home, so back then you can't have cell phones. Back then there was no cell phones. He had shipped it back when they were on their way out. They stopped in Hawaii for a little R&R before they headed down, and he had to ship it back then. And so the calls home were very few and far in between. As a mom, you have to keep it together. I mean, you can hear it in his voice, and it's like, wow, what just happened? He was talking about, Najaf, and you really didn't know, because the media is good and bad, because a lot of things that back then were reported they just wanted to report death and destruction. They weren't reporting all the good stuff that was going on, especially these guys, when they're not out in battling, they're helping these communities
that want help so bad.
They were stuck in this regime and this horrible people that didn't let them live their lives, and they were controlled, and the Marines are in there, and they love the Marines. And Nick, of course, he passed out soccer balls to all these kids, and they loved him because he's this big 6'3" goofy kid.
If you could see when Marines are doing that stuff, little kids, their eyes so big, and then sometimes Marines will put on music when we were doing it, and rap music, and then the Marines will start rapping, and these kids would go crazy.
I bet.
They would go crazy, and Marines would be laughing, and you just watch all this, and you'd see the parents watching.
Uh-huh.
And you'd see the big smiles on faces, but there's this evil Al-Qaeda thing there.
Yeah, yeah.
And if those people would have been left to do what they wanted to do...
Mm-hmm.
There wouldn't have been any war out there.
Yeah.
Because they wanted to make their communities better, turn the power on.
Mm-hmm.
As you said, those places were dumps.
They're horrible,
Because they had been neglected for so long.
Yeah.
But it was wonderful to see guys like Nick do their thing, and just like this magical thing happen.
They really loved our military there for the most part. And
it surprises people when you tell them that.
Yeah, they're like,
what?
Yeah, they don't get it. They don't understand.
When I see them on TV, they say, look, they have to. If somebody turns a camera on them and puts a microphone in their face and says, do you want the Americans here?
Yeah.
The answer is not going to be, yes, we love the Americans.
Yeah.
Right? They're going to say, no. Death to America. They need to leave. They're the infidel.
Yeah.
Then the camera goes off, and they come back like, I had to say that, right?
Yeah.
Because I don't want my family to
get killed. Exactly.
Right. Because the last guy from our village that did that, they're all
everybody's
dead.
Everybody's wiped out, yeah.
Yeah. And it's not a theoretical event. It happened.
It happened. Yeah.
And just like when you move into a city, the first thing that people would say is, how long will you be here?
Yeah.
And you'd say, well, we don't know. Because we didn't have enough people there because... for whatever bullshit political reason.
Yeah.
I don't want to get into that.
No, yeah, exactly.
But they would say, we want to help you. But the last people to help you lived in that house. It's empty now.
Exactly.
They're all dead.
Exactly.
The husband was beheaded and everybody else was shot.
Uh-huh.
That's a lesson to everybody. And that wasn't a theoretical event. And guys like your son experienced that.
Yeah.
And then got up the next day and did it again.
Yeah.
And it's heartbreaking to see it.
Yeah.
And so the all right, you've been here too long. Just so you know,
we can talk forever. I love it.
All right. So first of all, Lisa, all the best of luck to you.
Thank
Pleasure
you.
Pleasure meeting you.
You too.
And I, no, our paths will get across in the future.
Of course, we are like neighbors.
Tribal members. Neighbor.
Yeah. Exactly. Neighbors, tribal members. That's all.
All right, you give us a prediction. What do you give me a prediction on a time?
Oh, tomorrow? Please, no.
Come on.
No.
Come on, don't be a baby.
I haven't trained.
It doesn't matter. Like, do I care?
Oh, yeah.
Give me a prediction.
Oh, 5.5 hours, maybe? Maybe.
Maybe?
Maybe. Isn't that horrible?
No. Look, you're talking to somebody who's never run one. No, it's not. If I could run it in 5.5 hours, I'd do it. I don't think I could do it. I don't think my body could do it.
I might be close to 6. I don't know. I don't know. I haven't trained at all. The most I ran was 13 miles, and I did a half Ironman in September, and even that was ugly. So we'll see.
All right.
It won't be pretty, but, you know, it doesn't matter. That's not what it's about. It's not about me anyway. So.
Because it just sounded like it was about you.
I know it did. Huh? It's not about me. Stop.
You were like kind of pegging the California girl right there. It is about me.
It's never about me, but it is about Nick. And so that is, if it's about me spreading the word, people not to forget, then
well,
it's okay.
Well, first of all, you know we will never forget Nick.
I know you won't. I know.
You know, those guys... The most courageous, selfless warriors on the planet.
Yeah.
To see them do what they did, not every few weeks, every day. Is one of the great privileges, I think, of all of our lives
mm-hmm.
that have had the
mm-hmm.
opportunity to do that. So we will never forget them.
Yeah, thank
all
you
right.
for that.
That from Ventura County. Where in Ventura County?
I'm in Ventura, actually, the city of Ventura.
Oh, the city of Ventura.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
All right. That's Lisa Anderson. More All-Marine Radio coming to you live from the Gaylord Resort here in Washington, D.C. on the day before race day. So don't touch that dial.